With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, hello and welcome to Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that has had time to ponder on it and doesn't miss Alan Pardew one tiny little bit. I'm Graham Brown, and today is all about Mick McCarthy, the current favourite to be the next manager of the Albion. We're going to have an examination of Mad Mick through several routes. Later on, I'm going to speak to an Ipswich Town fan, Darren Campbell, who has some interesting things to say about him. But I'm sat here now with the very first ever Wolves fan to be on Woodman Corner, Scott Edwards. How are you?
Yeah, I could be better. I could not be on a West Bromwich Albion podcast.
We'll be kind to you, but while you are here, do you remember when we beat you 5-1?
Of course I do.
That was funny, wasn't it? And what about that time where we went to Wolves and beat you 3-0 and Kamara trounced you? What delivery? That was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, but do you remember Stephen Fletcher and Adling Gwediora, that 3-1 victory at Wolves as well? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, no, not so much. I think what's important to reflect on is that when everything was even and neither of us were a Chinese person's plaything, we were significantly better than you. That's the point I would make.
Yeah, but we all know he's going to be playing Premier League football next season.
All right, yeah, less of that. The Championship is the place to be. So, Mick McCarthy, you've followed Wolves throughout the McCarthy era. He's now the favourite to become the next Albion manager. He's not necessarily someone who's been wildly popular with Albion fans in the past. What you got to say about him?
I think he would be a great choice for the Albion. I know Albion fans are always going to be sceptical about it, as obviously he was a former Wolves man. Not many have made that divide, that jump between Wolves and Albion. So when you think about that, it's kind of the point where you think, would it be a good move to do that nowadays? Mm-hmm. I think that in the Championship, he would be the best choice for Albion. On a shoestring budget, he's been proven to be able to turn amazing things around with the club. I mean, he went down to non-league football for Wolves and bought through the likes of Michael Keightley from Grays Athletic.
Of course, yeah.
He was nobody before Wolves got a hold of him. And Mick McCarthy managed to turn him into this absolute powerhouse winger that was just absolutely flying, and got us. It really helps us get us promoted in that 2009-2010 season.
Did a similar thing with Tyrone Mings at Ipswich as well. Actually, I mean that's an interesting point. So what about? I mean, I think the major characteristic of the next Albion manager is going to be twofold. Really, it's going to be a hell of a lot of recruitment after all the players leave, and it's going to be kind of restoring order to a squad that's kind of lost a certain amount of its control. To those two points then, squad building, what did he prove at Wolves?
I just said 2009, 2010, it was 2008, 2009.
We were better than you then, weren't we?
Squad building, he's definitely somebody. He got rid of a lot of dead weight when he took over at Wolves. Mm-hmm. So if anybody at Albion was worrying about the fact that that we're going to have to get rid of players before we can bring players in, I think that McCarthy's going to do that no problem whatsoever, and he's going to focus on the youth product as well. I think he'll probably get them playing and saying, look, you've got a chance to break through under me, you've got a chance to prove it.
Yeah.
He was very proactive with that at Wolves, and I think he would be, again, if he's got a decent team to work with, and I think he would at Albion. I think the youth programme at Albion is definitely one that really makes any other team in the Championship, it will make them mouth water.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point that. Yeah, Field and Lico and Harper and so on. So you think he'd be the right kind of manager to bring them through?
Yeah, definitely. If you think that your youngsters need a chance, then Mick McCarthy would be the person to bring those through.
Then what about, obviously, the next manager of the Albion will be categorised as Pardew was by not being Tony Pulis. And I guess there's a lot of fear that McCarthy's kind of a pragmatic manager that plays football a certain way. What was the kind of football you're watching? Was it purely Cesc, or is that going too far?
If you had to compare it to any manager in Albion's recent history, I'd say it is more than likely Pulis-esque.
Right.
So you wouldn't be seeing like fantastic football like we're seeing at the Molyneux at the moment. but like regardless of that, to get you back into the Premier League, I think he'd be the guy to do it. If not in the first season, definitely in the second season. And that's a big claim, but I feel that he definitely would, because I think the problem that he had at Ipswich is the fact that, okay, this is a manager that can work on a shoestring budget, mm-hmm. but his shoestring just wasn't large enough at Portman Road. So as far as I'm concerned, if you gave him the budget, which would be significantly larger at Albion than he was when he was at Wolves, for instance, I don't think you'd have a problem. I think you'd be able to bring in unknown players, turn them into fantastic powerhouses, and then just like evolve your youth team into being somebody that the Premier League will eventually just look at and just go, oh crikey, we missed them a few years ago when we could have had them at a young age. They'll be a brilliant force for you to start off the... they'll be hungry as well. They'll be hungry, and that's what we saw when Wolves first got promoted. They were hungry, and they really, really wanted to go out the Premier League, and we did it for two seasons. And I just think that, obviously, there was a few decisions behind the scenes whether Mick McCarthy would take charge in that final season at Wolves. I think he became a little bit disheartened with the fact that his future was in question at the end of that second season of us being promoted from the 2008-2009 season. So, thinking about that, I think that was probably his downfall at Wolves, is the fact that he knew that he probably wasn't going to be wanted. Kind of his attitude towards being Ipswich manager now. He knows that he's leaving at the end of the season, so he might as well just look elsewhere. And he's probably starting to lose faith, as anybody would with any other job. Yeah. You know, if you were told that you were getting sacked at the end of the week, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be performing your best throughout that week. Nobody would. So
I think it's interesting. You've obviously got a real kind of soft spot for him, really. I wonder if McCarthy's probably to you what Megson is to some Albion fans, really. But a guy who kind of put an era of underperforming out of the way and got him back to the top flight. I guess that's how you've seen him in Wolverhampton.
Well, yeah, I do. I think it's because I started following football at quite a late age. I actually started supporting Wolves just as Dave Jones left, and it was Glenn Hoddle then. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what season that was like. So to see Wolves turned around and have such a long-term manager in Mick McCarthy has been the longest-serving manager since I've been like following and supporting Wolves.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to have a soft spot for him, because he's the longest-serving manager that we've had. Now, looking at Wolves and obviously under Nuno, I think that Nuno's quickly got up there in one season for me.
Yes.
It's just the style of football, the how fast-paced it is, and it's beautiful football, which is more appealing.
Like, all right, let it pass.
Yeah.
So we've got a Wolves fan here. We might as well ask you some questions. Neves, is he already better than Paul Scholes?
No.
Nuno already better than Alex Ferguson?
No.
How long do you think it'll take before you win the Champions League?
I can't talk like that. I've always prided myself on being a realistic Wolves fan, and
they need one.
I feel that the club is one of those where you can get those fans where they get really, really excited and think, oh yeah, we are going to win the Premier League next season. I've always been that person that's always been a little bit sceptical.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a version on that if I say I'm a realistic Wolves fan. It's just, we never do anything the easy way. So as that huge point like loss that we've had this season, we were storming away with it. We could have won it by now, really, if we didn't lose a few games that would slip up at those draws as well. So, you know, I think we could have had done dusty by now, but we haven't. We fell back into the race, and now we're starting to pull away again.
Yeah.
So we never do it the easy way. And I don't think if we are challenging for a Champions League spot, it won't be for a few seasons yet, and that depends on whether, obviously, we can attract big names.
Well, I've been to Wolverhampton, so I can imagine that's going to be something of a problem. But anyway, Scott, thank you for joining us and becoming the first Wolves fan on the Woodman Corner podcast. If it could be anyone, it'd be you, and we appreciate it. Just before we go on to our next segment, which is to talk to Darren Campbell, who's an Ipswich fan, I'm going to make a return to our regular feature of all the things I like about Alan Pardew. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. And now over to Darren Campbell.
Okay, so I'm on now with Ipswich Town fan Darren Campbell. Darren, thanks for joining us on Woodman Corner.
That's all right.
So, Mick McCarthy is currently the favourite to be the next Albion manager. Were you an Albion fan, given you've had years of experience of his management? Would you be pleased about that?
Well, I think in the situation that Albion are in, I think he'd be a good appointment, bearing in mind, you know, he's got a record of sort of firefighting teams that have been in trouble. He certainly proved that at Ipswich and... you know, various times that he's sort of turned teams around, and in cases he's gone promoted back to the Premier League. So I think he'll hopefully be the right sort of fit. How I'd feel if I was an Albion fan about him being Wolves manager, I don't quite know, but that's another matter.
Yeah, I mean, he's fairly universally known as Mad Mick in the area, and obviously, and he's sort of probably, you know, amongst Albion fans, known for a time when Albion fairly resoundingly gave Wolves a pasting all the time. But I mean, what did he do at Ipswich? What state were you in when he got there? What state does he leave? And, you know, is it on the face of it, it seems to me like Ipswich have, relatively speaking, trodden water in his time there. But would that be unfair?
When he first arrived, I think it was probably the biggest mess that he's had to deal with. When you think about Sunderland and Wolves and the position they were in, when he took over at Ipswich, we were 5 points adrift at the bottom of the Championship and looking dead certain to go down into League One. And he managed to not only sort of turn that team around, but he got them pushing to the top half, and then managed to get us into the playoffs by 2 years later. I mean, it's a heck of a job, really, on one of the smallest budgets in the Championship, and I think everyone's acknowledged that on that kind of money, he's done an incredible job. I think the problem is that having raised expectations by accomplishing that, which is credit to him, the last few years at Ipswich have been, everything's kind of fallen back a bit, and when the results start turning down, as everybody knows, Mick McCarthy's got, you know, quite a pragmatic style. It's not necessarily the easiest on the eye, and when it works, as he did for the first couple of years, it was brilliant. But then when the results don't come and you're still getting the same football, unfortunately it started to grind down on everybody. And last season was probably, I think it's about the worst that we've had for about 60 years in terms of where we finished, which is probably a fair reflection of our budget. But sadly for Mick McCarthy, I think his relationship with the fans has kind of broken down, and you know what Mick McCarthy's like. It's his persona is not—he's not one that will yield. If he's getting a lot of criticism, he'll stand up for himself. And it was fine when we were doing well, but yes, in the last couple of years, I think it's worn down on people, so to speak.
I think that'll terrify a lot of listeners, because obviously we've gone through 2 or 3 years of Tony Pulis, and I mean, Tony Pulis makes Mick McCarthy look like Pep Guardiola. But be kind of a concern to Albion fans to hear that, I guess. I mean, so what kind of football, when you say that, is it what, long ball? Is it set piece reliant? Is it negative? What specifically kind of football does he serve up at Ipswich?
Well, I think to begin with, defensively, we were in such disarray when he first turned up. It was all about shoring up the defence, making us difficult to break down, making it difficult for the opposition to play. And when he first arrived, that was brilliant. It was the perfect firefighting strategy. The defence was actually about as reliable as I think I've ever seen it in the time that Town had been in the Championship. And it worked wonders for turning things around. But then when you're trying to push on, you need to be that bit more adventurous. I think the problem for Mick is that the strategy generally has always been pragmatic, safety first, let's not lose the game, which, when you're in trouble, that is the priority, and it served well in that situation, and he managed to do surprisingly well, to get, as I say, to get us into the playoffs. But in the last few years, the fans have been keen to see the team kick on, and I think that's where fans have been saying, okay, you know, we're playing at home, let's be a bit more adventurous, let's take the initiative and go out on the attack. And it's at times like that I think, you know, people have said, well, actually, we need to be a bit more forward focused. We need to be, you know, trying to pass the ball around a bit more, try and seize the initiative and get the first goal and that sort of thing, rather than just trying to restrict how the opposition play. So it depends. I think it often has been the case with Mick that things have started well when he first entered the club. If he's doing a firefighting strategy, as it were, this sort of
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Just finally, what about recruitment over his time there? He's obviously the longest serving Championship manager. He's had the time to buy quite a few players. Is he a squad builder? How would you categorise the level of return you've got from the money he's spent and the players he's brought in?
He's on the budget that we're on, which is one of the smallest in the Championship, I think he's done brilliantly well. The time that we made the playoffs back in 2015, the squad that he assembled there, the whole first team squad, he'd not paid more than $110,000 to the entire team, which is a remarkable achievement.
We've got players that earn more than that in a week.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's remarkable that you could keep a team in the Championship on that kind of money, never mind getting them to finish in sixth place. And that was an incredible achievement. A lot of it was based on, sort of clever free transfers and making a few decent loan signings from the Premier League and that sort of thing. And there were some very shrewd fees being paid. I think if Albion fans remember being linked with Tyrone Mings a few years ago,
yeah.
Which only paid £10,000 for his services from non-league. So he's got that ability to pick up gems for almost nothing. I think he has had a few sort of hits and misses. There have been a few guys who've come in, and to be honest, it's been classic sort of Championship squad players who they come in briefly and then they go and without really making a great deal of an impact. But I think for the most part he's done very well. I think he has been restricted by the budget that he's had at Ipswich. He did very well on it to begin with, but I think in terms of trying to push on, he's been somewhat hampered. Maybe if he'd had the kind of budget he'd had elsewhere, he would have been able to go a bit further with it.
Darren, thank you. I think that's really interesting, actually. It's probably made me slightly more optimistic about the idea of it potentially being him, in that we probably are a crisis team at the moment. We need a lot of recruitment. And sometimes it's the right moment for the right person. Maybe it might be the right time for a bit of Mad Mick at the Albion now. Thank you. Thanks for joining us on Woodman Corner. We really appreciate that, Darren.
Thank you to both of our guests this week. You'll note that we spent almost zero time talking about the new dawn that came after Alan Pardew's departure on the weekend. I took in the Swansea game. I think there's quite a lot of social media excitement. There was far more to do with the name of the person in the manager dugout than it was the performance on the pitch, really. It remained the case that we didn't beat a pretty average team and that we threw away another lead. So for that reason, I thought I'd spend very little time on this week's Woodman Corner relaying it. Maybe if we go and smash Man United, we might actually talk about the football on the pitch, but maybe that's for another day, let's say. In the meantime, as I keep saying, if you like our podcast, please do get in touch, let us know why. If you don't, let us know how to make it better. And if you fancy coming on, please get hold of me, Graham_Brown on Twitter. Thank you for joining us this week. If anything happens with the manager search, if we recruit anyone new, which I don't think we will, then we'll break out, and if not, come and join us again next week.